Would you turn with me, please, to James chapter 3? James chapter 3. We'll read a few verses from this chapter. James is after the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and James, then you 1 Peter, 2 Peter. So James chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now the Lord will bless the reading of his word again in public. Bless us by in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, even as it's been said around this table this morning. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the blood of your Son. We thank you for his doing and dying. We thank you for those that know him, that, Lord, he has saved us by your grace through faith in him alone. We thank you this morning that the saved can sing and rejoice. Lord, we can smile at the storm because we know that our Savior loves us and is with us by his Spirit who is in us. Lord, we pray, Lord, again for wee Sophia, our mommy, daddy, and the family circle. And we ask you, Lord, to bless them and bless this word this morning for all those who are away, so many. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage them as they take their family time together, precious time. We pray you'd make memories, Lord, to stay with them. We pray you'd refresh them and bring them back into the fold again safely. Glorify the name of Jesus, we pray. In his name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I've entitled this message this morning, Wisdom from Where? It's the question. Wisdom. From where? Three times in our reading, James speaks of wisdom. And he speaks of it in two different types of wisdom. Two different types of wisdom. In verse 13, he speaks of one who is with wisdom or who has wisdom. He asks the question, who is a wise man? Speaking to wise men and wise women this morning. People with wisdom. He asks, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Now, the word wise here is the word sophos. And sophos is where you also would have Sophia. So it's, little Sophia, give me the idea on wisdom. Wise and wisdom is the word Sophia in this instance of our reading. It's different, as in a moment I'll show you, in other places, but Sophia here is for wisdom. The word wise is sophos, and it's a very generic word with a wide and varied application. Some people are wise to make right decisions. Some people are wise to know how to settle arguments. Some people are wise and can fix problems, problem solvers, fix things. But this sophos is slightly different. Let me give you an example. In Matthew chapter 7, we have the Lord Jesus. He speaks of the man who built his house upon a rock. He's called the wise man. A wise man who builds his house upon a rock. And the foolish man builds his on the sand. The word for wise here is not sophos. It's in Matthew 7:24. But it's a different word, and it's the word phronimos. And phronimos means he was prudent. He was intelligent. Gives the idea to think of one's future interest. Now that can be used for the negative, where people think of my interest for the future, forgetting God. But in the context of Matthew 7, the wise man is the phronimos man. He's not sophos, which we're reading here. It is the phronimos man, and it means he was prudent. He was intelligent, and it means that he thought of the future, and he builds his house on a rock. And then the foolish man, the word is moros. The foolish man is moros, and it means, it's where we get our word moron from. Jesus, this man was like a moron. And he builds his house upon the sand, and the winds and the rains come, and you know, so I'm sure you know the story, and the house built in sand collapses, and the one on the rock, of course, remains standing. So the phronimos man was intelligent enough to know we need a sure foundation. We need to be grounded. And so it's the same whenever we look at the 10 virgins. 5 are wise. They have oil in their vessels and their lamps. It's the word phronimos. It means they were intelligent to remind, if the bridegroom tarries and my lamp runs out, I have some also in my vessel to refill. Where the foolish, the moros, Jesus calls them, the moros, they only have it in their lamps, thinking I'll just do okay, I'm all right the way I am, and their oil runs out and they're locked and shut outside. So the wise always look ahead for what is in the future. And as according to the man who builds his house on the rock, this phronimos man, this intelligent, prudent man who is thinking of his future, he knows when a storm comes, he needs a bedrock. And hence then, when you read that narrative of Matthew 7, he's speaking of it in the context. The context is important, of someone who takes the word of God and lives according to that word. That is their rock. So that is the difference here in phronimos and sophos. Here we have, who is a wise or a sophos man and endued with knowledge among you? Here James, using this word, it means one who is governed by piety. One who is governed by piety has a strong, active faith. So there's a challenge for me. A challenge for all of us this morning. Are you governed by living right? And do you have a strong, active faith? This is what the word means. An active faith. It gives the idea of that which is within us, active faith within us, shows outwardly in our lifestyle of reverence toward God, with respect of holy things of God, and love and devotion towards God. That our hearts are devoted. Devoted to God. So is your heart devoted to God? Totally sold over. Totally devoted. No matter what it is. The wise man here, this man who is devoted to God, is endued, it says, with knowledge. Let him show it out of a good conversation, James says. So he's saying, you show your devotion, your love, your respect for God out of a good conversation. Now that word conversation goes beyond us just speaking about it. There's many professors, they profess, but there's less possessors. They possess Christ. Notice here, this word conversation, would you say conversation? See, I know it's very warm, and I don't want anybody nodding off. Conversation here is a word, anastrophe. And do you know what it means? More than just speaking. Well, I'll talk about it from time to time, or I'll say a lot but don't do a lot from my heart. Anastrophe gives the idea of your whole manner of life and everything about it. Not just church, not just this morning, but our whole manner of life at home, at church, at work, wherever. We just don't speak it, but we live it before people. So this endued with knowledge, let him show it out of a good conversation or out of his whole manner of life. This term conversation, English word conversation, is used 13 times in your King James Bible. 8 of these times are used in 1 and 2 Peter. Let's look at a few of those for a moment. Flick over to the next book, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And look what Peter says here in verse 15. He's speaking of being obedient children. In verse 14, fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. Now notice what he says. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now it's Christ in us that makes us holy, but the idea here is he's saying, live right in all your lifestyle, in all of your life, every part of it, for that's what Christ demands. Not live in the world and then claim Christ as your Savior. Not live in sin and then claim Christ as your Lord. Live your whole life before him. Verse 18 of chapter 1, please. Notice what he says. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here Peter is saying, he's saying, look, your vain conversation, in other words, your vain lifestyle of your Judaistic religion, all of your life was gathered around the temple, gathered around animal sacrifice. He's saying the exact same thing here. And then he says, but you were not redeemed by that. But you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. In chapter 2 and verse 12, just let's look at another one. Notice what he says. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. Notice, they will speak against you as evildoers. They may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Peter now is saying, look, he's saying, if you live your life right before people, if you live your whole manner of life before those other people, he says, they're going to call you an evildoer. It's happening today with the Christian, isn't it? Used to be called goody two-shoes. No, I used to call Christians, maybe goody two-shoes, aren't they? I used to think, well, we mommy's boys. No, you know, Christ makes a man out of you, a woman out of you. Any old trout can swim upstream. Go, or downstream, go with the flow. But it takes some catch to go up against the current. It's where it gathers its strength. And he's saying here, people will call you evildoers. That's what Christians are now, the evildoers, because society has become so dumb in their sin and they've become so hard against the gospel. So all of a sudden, we are the evildoers. Good has become evil, evil's become good. Light's become dark and darkness has become light. Just as Isaiah the prophet said. And here, Peter's telling us, if we live all of our life, every area of our life before God, be prepared. People will call you evildoers, but continually by your works, there will be those who will see. By your lifestyle. They may never read a Bible, you know, but they'll read you. And they'll read me. And they may not like it and think we're evildoers. Because we don't go with the flow. We don't go along with the crowd that, you know, the scripture says, follow not a multitude to do evil. We don't go with the multitude to do evil. We don't follow the liberalism and their wicked ways. We don't do that ungodliness that they want in our land. But rather we pursue after Christ. And we live our lives before them. And here James says, this word, he says, your whole life, live it before God and before men and women. Every area. Every part. There's too many to go through here, but gives you an idea of this word. The wise man is endued with knowledge, and let him show it out of a good conversation. So James is in line with Peter. Paul mentions it. I'll not go through the scriptures. We take up the rest of our time. But Paul goes through it as well. And he brings the same word into Galatians 1 and 13 and Ephesians 4 and 22. The Hebrew writer mentions it in Hebrews 13 and 7. Paul mentions it again in 1 Timothy 4 and 12. So James and Peter and Paul are all singing off the same hymn sheet when it comes to the person of Christ and your and my relationship with him and our wholehearted devotion toward God. Unfortunately, God, Christ, becomes lower down the pecking list of Christian lives now. Everything, even the church, comes pecking list down. The prayer meeting comes down the pecking list. And here James says, if you have wisdom from above, you will live your life totally devoted in piety, reverence, and respect, love toward God. If one has been endued with knowledge, then their lifestyle, all their manner of living and their works should show endowment with meekness of wisdom. So this is the word Sophia. Sophos, the wise man, meekness of wisdom is Sophia. Sophia, I looked it up in Thayer's Greek lexicon. I looked it up in Strong's and different Greek texts and lexicons. I sat down the other day to write it. And I just thought I'd dig a little bit more into this word, Sophia, since we've dedicated this wee one, Sophia. Give me a good idea for study. And this is what a message is what I came out with. And I looked up Thayer's Greek lexicon, and I'm going to quote from what it says. Sophia, used of the knowledge of very different and diverse matters, so that the shade of meaning in which the word is taken must be discovered from the context in every particular case. In other words, when you see the word and you find that Greek word is not phronimos or another word, but sophos or Sophia, he says, look at the context every time it's used to get the full meaning of it, the full case of it. It says, it must be discovered from the context in every particular case. The knowledge and practice of the requisites for godly and upright living. So the context is shown and known by the contrast in our reading, James chapter 3. In other words, why he writes it is because there's two different Sophias. It's used in different way. Two different wisdoms. Notice here, in verse 15, we see the contrast. So the context behind it, if you read James chapter 3 when you go home, it's about those, there were some, there were teachers coming in with false teaching. And then there were those who were using their tongue, not only to teach wrongly, but also, and remember, James was what was known as the Bishop of Jerusalem of the early church, the Lord's half-brother. But notice this as well. He is writing this in the context of saying, there's people coming in and they're talking and their tongue is like a fire. It's like a ship with a little rudder. You know, and he talks like this. That does great damage. So then he brings up, where's your wisdom from, he's asking. And that's the context of this. How we speak, what our tongue says. So that's the context he's writing our reading in. In verse 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. Notice this. And in verse 17, he says, this wisdom that is from above. There's your two different wisdoms. One that isn't from above and one that is from above. One that isn't from above and one that is from above. For example, James 3 verse 14. Notice what it says, if you will. I'll turn to it with you. James chapter 3 and verse 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now let's read on. The wisdom, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. And notice where he says it brings us to every evil work. Every evil work is among this wisdom, which is not from above. It's described as, so this is described as negative, sinful, earthly, fleshy. It's bitter. It's envying. It's strife in our hearts in verse 14. And this is the opposite of the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom that is found in verse 13. The meekness of wisdom. What was that? A big snail fell from the roof. Or a slug. What am I going to do with him? Here, they get planted. Yes, yeah, it's not real, but you can stay in there in the meantime. It didn't want to squish him. Notice this, if you will. Bitter and envying and strife in people's hearts is different than the wisdom from above, which is meekness of wisdom. Now, people get it wrong when they think of meekness that the Christian is a doormat. That the Christian is effeminate. That the Christian is a walkover, a pushover. And so they treat them like that. But the word meekness doesn't mean that. Do you know what meekness is? Jesus says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Meekness is strength or power, which is hidden under meekness. So it means they're strong. Doesn't mean they're weak. Weakness is not meekness. It is strength under control. The word meekness here is the word fratuis, and it's used three times in James 3 and 13. It's used in James 1 and 21 if you want to look at it. And look what it says. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It comes to a point where the power of the Spirit comes and he gives you the strength to be able to take you, as we heard this morning, from death unto life, from darkness into light. And he gives us that strength to be able, from our deathly depraved state, to be able to receive the word with a heart that is not just, I'll give this Jesus a try. I'll say a wee prayer just to shut him up, to get out of the road. This is from the heart. And James uses it there. Peter uses it again in 1 Peter 3:15. We'll not turn to it for time's sake. But this word, phratoutheos, it means it's a condition of mind and a condition of your heart. It's a spirit within the man and woman which cannot, and listen to this, be elated, nor can it be cast down, simply because it is not occupied with itself at all. So meekness is this. We are not elated by men's applauses. And when the applause stops, we're not deflated. Because it's not about us. We're not cast down when insults are cast in our teeth. Because men's opinion does not matter on the issue of our devotion before God. So they can't put us down. And this is meekness. It is not a passive gentleness growing out of weakness, but it's an active attitude of deliberate acceptance. People talk wrong about you, attack you verbally, as it were. This may say you're weak because you say, I'll pray for you. Doesn't mean you're weak because you walk away from them and say, I'll have no more of that. Makes you strong. Shows strength in you. Let's make this. So in closing this, there is the wisdom that's from above, and there is wisdom which is not from above. In James 3, verses 14 and 15, man's wisdom and all about man is spoken of. All that stuff that we have read, all that wrong stuff issuing from the heart. In verse 16, we have the rotten fruit of man's wisdom, leading us into every evil work. And then in James 3, 17 to 18, we have the fruit produced which is from above. Let's read it. James 3 and verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and is easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So this wisdom, this Sophia, which is from above. In other words, when you are saved, I'm going to use the word, I'm not talking about when you're churchy, because you're not saved, it doesn't matter what church you're at, this one or any other one. It's when you're saved, when you're Christ. When you're saved, you have the Sophia, the wisdom from above. Let me give you a couple of things as I close this about from above. What the scripture says, there's others, but I've just picked a few here. And the word from above is the word anathen. Anathen. Comes down from above. I pray this morning that every good and every perfect gift is from above. That's anathen. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's James 1 and 17. Notice what Jesus says in John 8. And he's speaking to the leaders of the Jews. If I were you, would you write down and read John 8 verses 21 to 24, especially when you go home or when you get a chance. And in John 8 and verse 23, it says, and he said unto them, Jesus said to the Jews, these Jewish leaders, ye are from beneath. Now hold on a wee minute, sure we're God's people. Think about this. Jesus said, not this man, he said to them, you're from beneath. I, speaking of himself, I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. Jesus is saying, I came from heaven to earth, but you're from beneath. See the difference? In John 19 and verse 11, it says, Jesus answered, and this was to Pilate when he arrested him and tried him, thou couldst have no power at all against me except that were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. In other words, the Father sent the Son. That was the power that allowed Pilate, but it was either Judas, people debate who is the great one with the greater sin that delivered. Was it Judas Iscariot who delivered him and betrayed him? Or was it Caiaphas the high priest that handed him over to Pilate? Either way, he says, I came from above, and you would have no power over me if my Father would not allow it. And the word is anathem. And so when we get to John 3 and verse 3, Jesus meeting the Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews there, he says to him, and he's asking about being, he's talking about being born again. Jesus says to him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in verse 7, he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So verse 3, can't see the kingdom of God. And in verse 5, he says he can't enter into the kingdom of God. But in verse 7 then he says, marvel not, don't be surprised, that I said unto thee, everyone in this meeting this morning, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The word born again in every clause is, unless you're born from above. Doesn't matter who you are. You must be born from above. It's like the hymn writer wrote, born of the Spirit with life from above into God's family divine. He says, unless you're born from above, you can't see. You'll not have your eyes opened. You'll be dead to this and you'll die without Christ. So there are two wisdoms here. The wisdom which is of this world, not from above, not anathem. In other words, it's man's way, man's ability. I've heard someone say, born from above means you must be born, and can mean to begin or the head, but it means from above. Christ is the head. Some say, well, Adam was the head. He's the federal head of Adam, man. Yes, he was. But we received Adam's germs and sin. It's not born from Adam. It must be born by the Spirit. You may be an Adam,
but they must be in Christ. So here's the question. The knowledge which is from this earth leads to every evil work. It might be better thinking that you're better than someone else, and our own morality might be different than someone else. Because we all have our own levels of thought of what morality is. But the whole canon is in this, tells us what we need. So in our own wisdom, are we thinking, well, I believe in God, that's my piety. That's from the earth, and it can be evil and sensual. It leads us into every evil work. Or are we with wisdom from above? Come down from above. We're showing Christ and all his wonder, the cross and all his work, the blood and all its power, and the cleansing that he brings to everyone who calls on his name to be saved. So which one are you? Using the wisdom of man or the wisdom of God this morning? May God bless his word. Arne and Sarah, Lee Sophia, God bless his family.